We're joined on the phone now by Bill Hansen, Cook County community member and leader who is in his fourth month of a 27-month stint with the Peace Corps in Uganda. Hey, Bill. So I would like you to say good morning or how are you to me in the local language, please.
They don't actually say good morning here, but they do say the most common greeting is Mulembe, which is translates as peace be with you. Okay. And then you follow that up. If it were the morning, I would follow it up by asking you, Wakonale Oriena, to which you would reply, Nakonale Oriena. And that means, did you sleep well?
Oh.
Or how did you sleep? Or no, and you'd say, Nakonale Bulayi, sorry. And you'd say, I slept well. And then you'd say, Minawe? And I would say, Nakonale Bulayi. And it goes on and on. The greetings are a big thing in this culture. So when you greet, and you greet everybody, half the day is spent in greeting. And you... You greet elaborately, and it's really lovely. I mean, you know, it's people take time to stop, talk to each other.
And they really want to know how you are.
Yeah, it's very sincere, and it's very gentle, and it's a little cultural quirk here that people look kind of stern as you approach them. They, you know, almost, when I first got here, I thought they almost looked mad. But they're not. And as soon as the first syllable is out of your mouth, they just break out in a grin, and then they're as friendly as can be from then on. So it's just a cultural tick that's kind of fun.
Sure. And what about the goodbyes? Are they long and drawn out like Minnesota?
No, it's completely the opposite. They don't say goodbye here, which is really hard for me to get used to. They literally usually just walk away. Occasionally, if you want to say something, which I always do, of course, I'll say kale kale, which just means okay. And that's it. I think it's an artifact of this is a very communal culture, especially, you know, pre-colonial times. It was completely communal. And so they feel like really the sentiment there is that you don't say goodbye because you're always together. And so there's no point in saying goodbye. Even if you're not within sight of each other, you're still together.
Oh, that's lovely.
They're very puzzled if you say goodbye.
Okay. You would reserve that for the end of your Peace Corps time, probably.
Yeah, even then, they don't even actually have a word for goodbye. You can say, have a safe journey or sleep well, those kind of things, but there is no real sentiment of goodbye.
Okay. Well, since we talked with you in July, you've received your permanent assignment and you're settling into a village. Will you tell us where you are and what it's like there?
Yeah, I'm in the parish of Burukuru, which is in the Bukiende sub-county. I don't say that word very often. And in the Mbale district. So Mbale is the nearest town. It's about 25 kilometers away. And it's a town about the size of Duluth. And then it's very similar actually to Sawbill. I'm out in the sticks about half an hour from town, you know, so I grew up my whole life. So that part feels really familiar, but the village is called Mufura, and it's a tiny little village. I live in a big house that's a vacation home of a doctor who lives elsewhere in the country, but it's the only big house in town. Everything else is very, very small. And the house is, even though it's a big house with a fence around it, it's very open to the community. The doctor is from here and he's very generous and related to everybody. And so people are coming in and out all day long. It's not like I'm isolated in a big house. It's very, very friendly, and the village feels free to come in and talk to me or talk to other people that are around. And there's a TV here, which I find actually a little annoying, but it's very popular with the villagers. So.
What does it mean to settle into the community there? What kinds of things do you do each day, or how do you feel like you're part of it?
Yeah, let me describe the community itself a little bit, just the physical location. I'm up in the mountains. I'm at about between 6,000 and 7,000 feet, so pretty high in the mountains, but only about, well, I guess two-thirds of the way to the top of the nearest mountain, which is just a few kilometers away. I can see it, you know, right there, just about touch it. And then on the other side, I'm on a ridge, so I have a mountain view on one side, and then on the other side I have a view down the mountain valleys. To the north, there are bigger mountains, 10,000-foot mountains that I can see very clearly that are like 7 or 8 kilometers away. And then there are mountains that are 20 miles away that I can see also on this side. So it's just breathtakingly beautiful here. It's very lush, very green, very wet, very agricultural. Pretty much all the land is under some kind of cultivation. There are forests, but they're managed for timber, you know. So it's a very productive. It's the breadbasket of Uganda. And so my organization is called Friends of Mothers Initiative. You got to like that name. And they are, I really, really got lucky. They're just the most wonderful people, from the board of directors on down through the staff. It's a very, very small organization. It actually has zero money right now, but they're basically providing community development and empowerment for women who do most of the farming here, and specifically women coffee growers. The coffee here is among the finest in the world. It's a really, really top-notch specialty coffee because of the altitude and the soils and just the strain of coffee that they grow here. And so this organization sort of acts as a cooperative for about right now we have 88 farmers, 90% of them are women, that they combine and they pool their coffee and then sell it to brokers. And we're just about to ship our first container to the United States, which
Wow.
is exciting because, well, this will be the first container that this organization has sold since the mothers banded together. And that's a big deal because then income will start coming in. So that'll
Yeah.
be nice.
Cool.
And then as part of that, they have savings groups, and this Village Savings and Loan is a program that runs all over the world. A very simple savings program. In our case, 11 mothers get together in a group and save money with themselves, just between themselves. And we facilitate that. So 4 days a week in the afternoon, I go to the savings groups and facilitate, although I don't, you know, I haven't really done much. My counterpart, Mahasilama, who's just the most wonderful guy in the world, does most of it, obviously. And I've been struggling to try to understand what's going on. I mean, I can see what's going on. That part of it is simple, the actual savings, but to understand the conversation is a whole different ball game. But I'm getting there. I'm getting there. So I do that, and some days, like today, he can't come for one reason or another. His motorcycle breaks down or something, and then I have to run the groups myself, which is kind of comical because, you know, they know more, way more than I do about it. But I supervise, and then I collect the money and keep it safe until Mahasilama comes back. So,
Coffee growing. So, are you advising them on business practices or?
well,
Well, I
I
mean, I know
will
you have a
be.
lot of experience with running small business, so.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, I'm not going to tell them a thing about coffee because I don't know anything about coffee. But I'm going to help with that in that they because it's a specialty coffee, very expensive specialty coffee, the quality has to be absolutely top notch. Just to, you know, the quality starting right at the farm has to be essentially perfect. And so I'll be working with on projects to try to bring that quality up and keep it up. They know, and they do a great job now, but their equipment is old and that affects the quality. And so we need to, you know, rally around and figure out how to buy more equipment. And with income coming in, that should happen. They also want me to organize the building of drying racks. Right now they dry the coffee on tarps on the ground, and it's faster and more efficient to dry it on a simple drying rack.
Sure.
So I'll be working on that project. They've got about 10 projects lined up for me. We'll see how many I can get to, but there'll be no shortage of work. There's plenty to do here, and it's not like I'm an expert advising them on anything. I'm just more like I was in Grand Marais, just a community volunteer that's willing to pitch in where needed, you know. So and it can any community can use an extra set of hands.
They sure can. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Bill Hansen, Cook County community member and leader who is in his 4th month of his stint with the Peace Corps in Uganda. And we are talking with him through the wonders of WhatsApp. That sounds really good, Bill. I hope it lasts for the rest of the conversation.
Yeah. There's good self-service here. That's one nice thing. And actually the village does have a road, which it's only had for about 10 years, and electricity. That kind of the electricity is a little less reliable, comes and goes, but but very few people are actually hooked up to it. My house happens to be one that's hooked up to it, so we're kind of a phone charging center because almost everybody, I'd say over the age of about 16, has a cell phone.
Okay.
And the coverage is very good because of the mountains. You know, they can put the antenna high and it just gets everywhere. So it's good. And they never wired this. Most of this country was never wired for telephones, so they just went straight to a cell system, and it's excellent.
Mm-hmm. So let's shift gears a little bit. I know that you have been having some amazing adventures on the weekends, traveling around and doing really fun things. Will you tell us a little bit about some of them?
Absolutely. Well, Uganda is a gorgeous country, I have to say. I mean, just everything about it is beautiful, and especially where I am. I'm right on the edge. I'm just like 2 kilometers away from Mount Elgon National Park, which is an unusual African park because it's a mountain park. It does have elephants and water buffalo, but they're high altitude animals. And so it's just the topography is just gorgeous here and elsewhere in the country. So pretty much every weekend I've been traveling off, usually with other Peace Corps folks, to visit these areas that we've heard about and to familiarize ourselves with the country. And it's just, you know, it's educational to travel, and you're forced to speak the language. And so mostly hiking. The hiking here reminds me of the hiking in Colorado or Montana, where it's all uphill and then all downhill. Mm-hmm. And when you get near the top, it's steeply uphill. In fact, I think every hike I've been on the last kilometer or so, you have to use your hands and your feet. It's
wow.
So steep to get to the top. Yeah. But then you just are rewarded with a gorgeous view. So I've hiked nearby here one weekend, and then I traveled a little farther afield to visit another volunteer with a group, you know, and hiked there. And then this last weekend we went to Sippy Falls, which is actually a tourist area. It's about 2 hours from me here. And I rappelled off the falls, 100 meters, 300 feet. And I think I've sent you the picture already, so you can put it on the website, but that was quite dramatic and beautiful. The falls are in full flood. We're in the middle of a really rainy season here. So I got absolutely soaked at the bottom instantly when I got down there, but it was a really fantastic experience. And it's a nice little tourism thing they have going there with little sort of low-key, sort of the cobblestone cabins size resort there, and same vibe. So really, really fun. So it's been great. The one thing that was kind of exciting in the first hike, when we were coming down, we were actually walking on the road near the end, and we saw a bunch of bulls coming toward us, and they were all obviously, you know, sweating and tired and breathing hard. And we had a local friend with us who was a guide, and we said, "What's up with the bulls?" And he said, "Oh, they do bullfighting here," which means that the bulls actually fight each other. They don't really get hurt. They might get hurt a little, but they're just pushing. And then the stronger bull pushes the other one back, and that's how you win. And of course, people bet on it. It's vastly popular. So we said, "Oh gosh, you know, are we going to see it?" And he said, "Well, you know, based on the fact that they're going home, I think it's over, but we'll see." So we came around the corner, and sure enough, they were still there. And it was the last match of the day, and two bulls were just about to start fighting. And sure enough, as we walked up, they started pushing each other, and the crowd yelled, and everybody. Probably 300 people gathered around just in a soccer field, no fence, no pit, nothing, just people standing around two bulls. And so I was like, I got to see this. So I headed over to get to join the crowd, and the local guy who was with us. I remembered him kind of saying under his breath, "That's not such a good idea." But I ignored that and went over there, and I no sooner got there. I mean, like, I was still taking the last step, and I was probably 50 feet at the most from the bulls. They just stopped fighting each other, turned around, and came running straight at me at a full gallop. And of course, all 300 people just took off running. And I was a little late because I was, you know, didn't know what to do at first. So, and then when I saw everybody else running, I'm like, I better run too. And of course, I'd just come off this massive hike, and my legs were tired, but I'm proud to say I passed quite a few people.
No doubt.
And I ran into a dukkha, which is what they call the stores here. They're just little tiny stores. And so I thought, well, good to be inside. And as I ran toward it, the girl who was in it ran away. And I'm like, what does she know that I don't know? I went in there anyway, and the bulls bulls just ran by and disappeared into the woods, but it was quite exciting,
Yikes.
needless to say. I've learned since that that's kind of part of it, that sometimes bulls do run and, you know, the crowd has to get out of the way. So everybody else was ready, but I wasn't. But it's a big cultural thing, especially in that. That's a district called Baduda, and bullfighting has a huge, long history there and is a big deal. And they breed bulls for it. People come from all over Africa to see it. And, so it was kind of a cool cultural thing to see in spite of the scare. It's just kind of a local thing. Mm-hmm. I guess they do it in some other parts of Uganda, but not like this place is like known for it. It's their main source of entertainment, I guess. Every other Saturday they do it. So.
Wow. So you mentioned hiking to visit other Peace Corps volunteers. Are there other Peace Corps volunteers stationed or assigned right where you are?
No, the nearest actually is a coincidence. It's a couple from Minnesota that have been here 6 months longer than me. They're education volunteers. And I actually know their son. Their son is partners with Ellen Hawkins' niece.
Oh my gosh.
And I've actually met him. So when I ran into him before I left, he said, "Oh, you're going in Peace Corps. My parents are in Peace Corps in Uganda. Where are you going?" And at that time I didn't know. And I ended up plopping down 5 kilometers from them.
Incredible.
So I can walk. I have a path between their house and my house. And needless to say, we've become good friends. They're the Andersons, Jim and Liz Anderson, just wonderful people. And then in my cohort, there are 8 of us that are in this district or in this group of districts. So the farthest away are about 2 hours by taxi, which is a minibus here. Mm-hmm. And then the closest is a health worker who's probably probably an hour away by taxi. So they're kind of, we're scattered around, but we're close enough that it's easy to get together on weekends. Mm-hmm. And then we meet two of the 8 live right in Mbale. And so, and the one is kind enough to keep my tent at her house. So when I go to stay overnight in Mbale, I can just go, I have a key to her house. I can go get my tent out, set it up in the yard, and I'm good to go. So that's quite nice. When we found out, she also lives in a house that's right next door to the fanciest hotel in Bali and on the golf course.
Wow.
So not what you really picture for Peace Corps. That said, she's had the most problem with like pests in her home and, you know, security and that kind of thing of any of us. So kind of funny, but nothing serious.
What about visits from people from home? Any plans, or has anyone been there yet? Or
yeah, no, not yet. Peace Corps really discourages, you know, obviously we can do whatever we want, but they discourage visitors in the first 6 months.
I'm sure it makes sense because you're just getting used to it.
Yeah, I'm just getting acclimated myself. I don't really speak the language. I'm an understanding now. I'm up to probably 40%, mm-hmm. which is just enough to be frustrating. But it's coming. It's a lot. I've learned a ton. And speaking, I'm probably not quite that good yet, but maybe 25% on speaking. And if people would slow down, I could probably do 70%. But of course, they speak. They're what Peace Corps tells us are unsympathetic listeners. they speak at their normal language speed, which pretty much leaves me in the dust most of the time. But if I can get them to slow down and really enunciate, then I can actually understand quite a bit of what's going on. So it's they discourage visitors for the first 6 months, and I think that makes good sense. So
sure.
Hopefully lots of people will come to visit me. So far I've had a handful of people sort of verbally commit to come, and you know, that feels good, including you and my mutual friend Ann Jerry Vandiver.
Oh, nice.
Planning to come. Yeah, listeners may know him as the canoeing songwriter from Nashville.
Yeah. Oh, that would be a blast.
Yeah, it'll be really fun. So yeah, I'm hoping people are sure welcome to come visit, and it's definitely a country that you will enjoy visiting. It's just drop dead gorgeous here. Mm-hmm.
So I have to ask this because we spoke about it last time. You said that the in your initial training, they'd spent quite a bit of time preparing you for the low points you might encounter during your stay. Have you been there yet?
Yeah. No, not at all. In fact, I've been ridiculously healthy, both mentally and physically. I haven't really had most people, when they change continents, they have some illness that goes with that can be pretty severe. We've definitely had volunteers in our group that have ended up in the hospital on IVs with dehydration and that kind of thing. But no, I've been in the peak of health and just happy as a clam. I don't know if my low point's ever going to come, honestly. I'm having so much fun. So I think that's kind of lost on me. It is easier for me, I should say. This is a culture that really respects elders. And there's a respect given to foreigners as well. So I combine those two things and I sort of get instant respect wherever I go. And that I think really helps with the avoid depression because people are just unfailingly nice to me and kind to me and helpful, in every way. So that keeps me from really having difficulties that would bring me down. If I were to get really sick, I'm sure that would be a downer. And some people have been pretty much continuously sick since they've been here, which would be real hard to take, So, and then young women here, definitely there's a different culture, obviously between men and women here than in America. And so they are subject to some, unfortunately, to some harassment. I don't think men here see it as harassment, but young American women sure do. And so it's a cultural disconnect that makes it much harder for them. And I experience that when I travel with my Peace Corps friends that are young women. I really kind of forget, I think, oh, they're just whining. And then when I'm traveling with them, I realize, oh my gosh, no, this really is a kind of a constant onslaught of BS. So they fortunately, knock on wood, nothing serious, but just sort of constant unwanted attention. And it is a genuine cultural difference. It isn't that people are being jerks. It's just things are different here. And they develop strategies for dealing with it. I've only had a couple of instances where I had to be sharp with someone, but most of the time they're very, and usually that was because of alcohol, but usually they're very, very polite and very friendly and helpful. Speaking of alcohol, it was Independence Day here last week, and I went to my counterpart, Maha Silama, who, as I've said, is just a brother to me. We've just totally bonded, and just the sweetest guy you'd ever want to know. And hopefully, I'll get him to come to Cook County at some point. But he took me to his home village, Basiu, which is nearby here, about an hour away. And the very first thing, he doesn't drink. When we got there, he's plopped me down in a Malwa circle, or they call it Malwa or Busela. And that's local brew that's made out of millet. And boy, but after about 20 minutes of drinking, they drink it out of a common tub with like a jar with long straws, like 8-foot straws. So everybody sits in a circle with a straw. And this particular batch was pretty strong because I was feeling pretty buzzed after 20 minutes, and I had to beg off finally. And they were very, I was surprised. I thought they might be offended that I wanted to stop, but they were very supportive. They understand that I didn't want to get drunk, so and let me sit. So I spent the whole day with him and his relatives in his village, met his mother and his father and his bunch of brothers and sisters. He has 22 brothers. And a lot of sisters. I never did get a firm number. I'm not sure he even knows. Obviously, many different mothers, but or several different mothers, but it's a clan, so it's an extended family. And I just had a wonderful time again. And the next day, he kind of apologized to me because it really raised his status in his family that this foreign visitor came, an elder came to visit with him. And he was kind of like, I hope you didn't feel like I was using you. And I said, no, quite the opposite, that this is exactly why I signed up for Peace Corps, because a tourist would never get to spend a day like that. So my friend Timoth is passing by right now. He's my buddy from across the road. He's my unofficial language tutor, primary school student, kind of at the end of his primary school career. So he's probably in 5th or 6th grade and just the greatest kid. And so he just walked by and said hi.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for updating us. It's just a pleasure to hear from you and to hear that you're so happy and doing so well. And thanks for sharing these adventures with us. Can we chat with you again in a couple months?
Absolutely. And before I let you go, I definitely need to say my thanks to Cindy, my wife, and Claire, my boss, my daughter, who runs my former business where I worked till I came here. for enabling this for me, because I'm just having a really, really profound and great experience here. So my love goes out to them and then to everyone else. I miss you all, but just having a wonderful time. So, and I'll be back. And then I just want to thank Peace Corps and Uganda for getting together and letting me do this. It really is a great, great program. Anybody that wants to reach out, if they're considering, I'm bill@sawbill.com. If anybody's thinking about joining the Peace Corps, I'd be happy to talk to them and would highly recommend it.
Appreciate it, and take good care, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Anne.